And welcome back. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:07. A very pleasant start here in central Wisconsin. At our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Some sunshine, 14 degrees is the temperature. And again, if you missed the first hour of the show, where have you been? We had a very big first hour of the show. We started off with a discussion with Senator Tammy Baldwin. She yesterday introduced a piece of legislation in the United States Senate, the Shrinkflation Prevention Act, a crackdown on corporations that deceive consumers by selling smaller sizes of their products without lowering the prices. We talked about that with Senator Baldwin in our first segment. We got an update on the weather. It's going to get very, very, very warm coming up this weekend after that little cold snap yesterday. We talked to Brittany Merlot. And then we had our first North Star Nose segment. And again, North Star Nose from North Star Restoration every Thursday. And today, it was basically a foundational piece to let you know about North Star. But as we continue, we are going to be focusing on specific issues about restoration, construction, water, mold, fire, remodeling, home building, and everything in between. Every Thursday from 8:34 until 9 o'clock, the second half hour of the program in the 8 o'clock hour on Thursday morning. So again, we're looking forward to talking to North Star Restoration each and every Thursday here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Coming up here in this half hour at 9:34, we're going to have an interview. I had a roundtable discussion without the roundtable, but talked to the four captains of the Central Wisconsin Storm Girls hockey team. The Storm hit down in Madison for the state tournament that's beginning today. We'll talk to the four captains, Julia DeBile, Tristan Wickland, Ava Rohde, and Maddie DePoit. Talk about their role as captains, talk about the season, talk about the thriller on Friday night last week, overtime in the sectional final, defeating the number one ranked team in the state, Superior. Talk about the challenge of the state tournament semifinals today, potentially the championship round coming up on Saturday. So we'll talk to those four Storm captains coming up at 9:34. Also, don't forget, again, we will be I will be heading down to Madison later on this morning. Going to Madison to see the Central Wisconsin Storm and broadcast the Central Wisconsin Storm in that state semifinal against the Cap City Cougars. And the Cap City Cougars are the Cinderella team, a team that struggled in the regular season. They had 7 wins, 16 losses, and a tie, but they won 3 road games in order to get to the state tournament. They won overtime games in both the sectional semifinal and then a double overtime win in the sectional championship game, defeating the number one and number two seeds in their bracket. So again, it's a hot team, a Cinderella team. So Cap City Cougars taking on the Central Wisconsin Storm. We will be on the air from the Bob Suitors Capital Ice Arena in Madison, starting with the pregame show today at 4:35 and the opening faceoff at 5 o'clock, live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Before we go any further, need to say hello, good morning to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. And Ian, good morning and hello.
Good morning, Chad.
I have not given you much time this morning.
It's okay. It's been a...
I don't want you mad. I said that last hour. We don't want you
mad. I'm not mad. It's been a busy morning on this show.
Absolutely, yeah. It's cool to start off the show with a United States senator.
Oh, absolutely.
and just a few minutes ago during our news update, you said to me, yeah, I didn't know we were going to have the senator. I didn't know we were going to have the senator on until yesterday afternoon. It's one of those things where I go off, grab a bite to eat at lunchtime, I come back in and I see an email from one of the assistants to the senator, saying that, hey, the senator today is introducing this new bill on the U.S. Senate floor, the Shrinkflation Prevention Act. And would you be able to talk to the senator tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? I said, absolutely, but it has to be at 8:06 because that's when the show starts. And they said, okay, very well. And the senator, who's very busy, of course, has about 8-9 minutes or so. And I said, absolutely, we'll make sure we get the senator out in time. And again, she is just always a good interview, always willing to answer the questions and talk about what she's working on. So, and as I said earlier, last year, was able to have the senator visit us at our old location, came on the show, and I thought, oh, you know, the old location, just, it's old. The carpeting is old. Everything was old about it. Yeah, and the senator came in, and I want her to come here to our new place. In fact, interesting little story about when the senator came, this was last summer, and over at the old place, we have this parking lot over on East Wausau Avenue. And right when you turned into the parking lot at the time, there were a couple of huge potholes. Uh-huh. And I said, I can't have the senator come here and have these big potholes. So that weekend, and it was a hot weekend, I went over to Menards and picked up some of the stuff that you use to fill potholes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I spent my Saturday afternoon filling in these potholes over at the old place, just so the senator, when she came in, wouldn't hit one of the big potholes when he turned into the parking lot. And I ruined a pair of shoes, number one, because I was stupid. I was, you know, trying not to get all that tar on my shoes. But in the end, hey, I was actually very proud of myself being able to fill in those potholes and be able to allow the senator and her vehicle to go over and not fall into a pothole and maybe break something.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very considerate of you.
Well, you know me. I'm a considerate dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those potholes are pretty nasty.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, also next week, I want to remind folks that we have some, we had Senator Baldwin today. Tomorrow we'll have Mike Clemens, our Bull Falls Radio sports reporter, at 8:35, talking about the Bucks and the Badgers and all that stuff. And then we'll have our weekly Wisconsin sports segment here locally with Paul Micklig at 9:20 tomorrow. But then next week we will have Pat McKee, Wausau School Board member and candidate for reelection. Of course, it was Pat McKee who made the motion that was approved in November to reverse the idea of consolidation of the high schools here in Wausau. We'll talk about that and other issues in the reelection campaign for Pat McKee. He'll be with us at 9:20 on Monday. And then we will have Jane Roush, who is another candidate for the Wausau School Board. She is a challenger. She will be joining us at 9:06 on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday for the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. So, and of course, she is running for reelection against Councilman Doug Dinney, the two finalists. I know they'll be getting together for a joint appearance next week. They call it a debate. Often these are not real debates. If you look at the terminology of what a debate really is, so these are more joint appearances where you answer questions. And so we'll talk to the mayor about that and also about all the other issues facing the city and talk about her platform for a second term in office as well. So that's Katie Rosenberg joining us next Wednesday. So, again, really, I think some good guests who are going to be on the ballot on April the 2nd, Pat McKee on Monday, Jane Roush on Tuesday, both running for the Wausau School Board, and then as well the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, on Wednesday. Well, as we get closer and closer to the end of the week, I know number one, the thing that's first on your itinerary is finally getting a number for the day right later in the show.
I certainly hope so.
But then anything else on your plans right now, either for the end of the work week or the weekend?
Well, actually, I do have some exciting plans for tomorrow. I'm actually going to a murder mystery theater event. One of my good friends invited me to over in Wittenberg.
Okay.
So I'll be going to that. And then a Saturday, I'm actually going to get, I'm back in the saddle, and I'm going to be auditioning for Anything Goes.
And who's putting that on?
Oh, Owosso Community Theater is doing that as their, well, as their a summer show.
Oh.
Yes.
So right back on the horse again, huh?
Well, I did have a week off.
Do you have a role?
A lot better.
Do you have a role that you're going to try to get in Anything Goes?
Well, honestly, I'm going to, there's quite a few male roles with our, that are very funny. There's one character, Lord Oakley, who has a very heavy British accent, so that'd be fun to do. And there's a gangster called Moonface Martin, who has a very typical gangster accent. That'd be fun to do. And I read the synopsis of the whole show, and it's super funny. It's got great music, wonderful characters, and it's just a really good time.
So it's another musical?
Oh, yep. It's a music. And the
first
there's
thing too many. I'm going to say something, and maybe it's going to be controversial, but I would like to see some straight drama or straight comedy once in a while, too.
I disagree with you.
Because, and I understand that part of the goal is to bring people in and to have shows that bring people in and right. make the money and be able to, because the organization can't continue without the funding.
Absolutely.
But, and I know that sometimes the thought is that musicals bring in a little bit more of a crowd and maybe a little bit more funding. But for those of us who can't sing, it limits us. And I can't sing a lick, I tell you, not a lick. And I mean, back when I was doing a little bit of acting back in the day, I just love doing drama and I love doing comedy and I would like to see maybe a little bit more of that, maybe an opportunity to do that once in a while. So you pass that along, okay?
I have done a couple of straight plays in my theater career, and those were very long shows because without the music, it actually takes a lot longer.
Exactly, but I think that there's a different challenge to it and also
absolutely.
Just a different enjoyment for an audience as well. So
it is a fun challenge.
That is my editorial comment, so there you go. The time is 9:18. Again, 14 degrees, sunny skies here in Wausau. We're going to talk a little sports. Marquette, another nice win last night. Bucks getting back into action, looking to continue their winning way since the All-Star break. And, of course, the state hockey tournament getting underway today as well. I'm Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, looking at sports last night, Marquette, the fifth-ranked team in the country, continues their winning ways, and it was a very impressive win against a team that they had lost to earlier this year. In fact, Marquette early in the Big East campaign lost to Providence over in Rhode Island, but last night it was all MU at the Pfizer Forum, winning 91-69 over the Friars. However, they lost star Tyler Kolek. Kolek, who had 12 points before leaving with an oblique injury in the second half. He'll be examined today, and if he's out for any significant amount of time, that would be a huge loss for MU. Cam Jones continues his hot play. He had 17 points last night. David Joplin, 13. Steve Mitchell and Chase Ross had 12 each. Marquette is now 22-6 on the season, 13-4 in the Big East. And during this time of year, usually play all conference games, but they step out of conference on Saturday, taking on Nebraska-Omaha in a non-conference affair. So Marquette continues their hot streak. Also looking to continue their hot streak will be the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, who rolled past Charlotte at home on Tuesday, travel to Charlotte to take on the Hornets tonight. The Bucks are 3-0 since the All-Star break, trying to work their way up the Eastern Conference standings. Spring training underway for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are right now struggling a bit offensively. They lost yesterday to the Chicago Cubs 6-1 in Maryvale. William Contreras had the only Brewer RBI. Garrett Mitchell was 2-for-3. The Brewers used a lot of pitchers. They had 10 pitchers. That's what they do in spring training, so not a surprise. The Brewers will take on the Texas Rangers coming up this afternoon. The state hockey tournament is actually underway. First game of the tournament got underway at 9 o'clock this morning. And the only boys team from North Central Wisconsin, Tomahawk, they are making their first trip to state since 1991. So congratulations to the Tomahawk hockey and school communities as they make it to state for the first time since 91. And they are the number 4 seed in the boys Division II state tournament. And they got underway against defending state champion and number 1 seed New Richmond. And they're in the first period right now at Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena, and it is a 1-1 score. So 1-1 between Tomahawk and New Richmond as the tournament gets underway. And again, later on at 5 o'clock for the faceoff, the Central Wisconsin Storm girls team in the girls state semifinals taking on the Cap City Cougars. Again, I will be heading down to Madison for that one. 4:35 pregame, 5 o'clock for the opening faceoff right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, don't forget, coming up in just a few minutes, in about 10 minutes' time, we will have that interview I had with the 4 Storm captains as we talk to Julia DeBile, Tristan Wickland, Ava Rohde, and Maddie DePoit. That's coming up in 10 minutes here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Girls basketball, big night in girls hoops. Teams are just 2 wins away from earning spots in the state tournament next week in Green Bay. A lot of our area teams have fallen by the wayside in the regionals, but looking at some of the teams that are still in action tonight, the Athens Blue Jays. In fact, last night on the Big High School Sports Show, we talked to Athens girls basketball coach Kincaid Keefe. If you missed that, you can go to our podcast page at bullfallsradio.com. Just look at the shows and then find the Big High School Sports Show. You can hear our interview with Kincaid Keefe. Athens tonight taking on Pittsville in a Division 5 sectional semifinal. Tip off at 7 o'clock will be held at Merrill High School. Generally in the central Wisconsin area, Gilman, a number 9 seed in D5, taking on number 2 seeded Owen Withy. Game that will be played over in the western part of the state at Stanley Boyd. Also in Division 5, the Assumption Royals are in action. Assumption, a number 1 seed, taking on number 2 seeded Oshkosh Lords, but the game being played in Oshkosh at Oshkosh West tonight. In Division 4, again, a lot of the teams from our area knocked out. Looking to see any teams from our area. Phillips, from the northern part of central Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin, the Phillips Loggers, a number 2 seed. They are taking on number 1 seed McDonald Catholic tonight in Ladysmith. And that is in Division 4. In Division 3, the Wittenberg-Burnhamwood Chargers. They have been very impressive recently. They have been looking like peaking at the right time. Whitburn tonight in a sectional semifinal against Freedom. Game being played in Oconto Falls this evening. Again, teams need 2 more wins in order to make it to the state tournament. In Division 2, the Lakeland Thunderbirds, they are a number 2 seed. They take on number 1 seed in Menominee tonight over in Marshfield. 2 wins for Lakeland for a return trip to state. They made it to state in Division 2 last year. And nobody from our area really involved in Division 1. It was not a good playoff run for the Wisconsin Valley Conference as Marshfield and Stevens Point both lost in the regional finals last weekend. DC Everest and Wausau West along with Wisconsin Rapids and Wausau East and Merrill, all lost even before that. So, again, for the girls' basketball, the big schools, not a lot to keep an eye on here in central Wisconsin as when you look at you do, if you are a girls' basketball fan, I would suggest that you do go to DC Everest tonight because at 7 o'clock, Hudson takes on Nina. And Nina has one of the best basketball players in the state and a UConn recruit. And if you like to see some of the best play, it really is something when you see the best take on the best. And when you get to sectionals, Allie Zabel from Nina, I've had a chance to see her play Wausau West 3 different times over the years. She is an amazing player, just an amazing player. Again, going to UConn, one of the best college basketball programs, in fact, the best college basketball program in women's basketball history. So if you're a girls basketball fan, get over to DC Everest tonight at 7 o'clock. See Allie Zabel play for Nina against Hudson, who's a very good team as well. Nina, even with Allie Zabel, number 3 seed, Hudson, the number 2 seed. So, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The best deal in town is to go see high school sports. And now with a chance to see some sectional play here in our area at DC Everest tonight, take advantage of it because for the amount of money, for the amount of entertainment, it truly is an incredible bargain. The time is 9:28. We're going to have an information update coming up. News, weather, and sports. Get the latest on what's going on around here and around the state and even around the country. And then after that, we will have that discussion. Really cool to sit with the 4 captains of the Central Wisconsin Storm. Julia DeBile, Tristan Wickland, Ava Rohde, and Maddie DePoit. We'll hear that discussion coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes, the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Coming up later today, again, I have coverage of the Central Wisconsin Storm at the state tournament, state semifinal against the Cap City Cougars on the air at 4:35 later today. But earlier in the week before the Storm went to Madison, had a chance to sit down with the 4 seniors of the Central Wisconsin Storm. We talked to Ava Rohde, Tristan Wickland, Julia DeBile, and also Maddie DePoit, and started off by basically talking about where they came from.
First of all, I want to ask each of you to tell us where you go to school, because it's one of the interesting things about the Storm is so many schools involved. We're going to start with Julia. Where do you go to high school?
Wausau West.
Tristan.
Mosinee High School.
Ava.
Wausau West.
And Matt.
Wausau West.
Could I ask each of you as a captain, we're going to go down the line here again, in terms of how maybe more difficult it is to be a leader on a team that you don't see each other all the time in school, that you come together for practice and games and bus rides and such. But is it more difficult to be a captain for this kind of team than maybe it would be if it was just a solo high school?
I'd say yeah, because we it's not just the 2 schools too. We have to reach out to Everest, and we have Somosanee and East sometimes too. So it's hard to communicate with everyone and have everyone be on the same page all the time.
And we just heard, Tristan, some West kids, and you as a Mosinee kid. In terms of leadership, as again, I imagine over the years you've been able to develop the relationships, but is it more difficult maybe, because I know that you're very active in volleyball as well and softball, is it much different here in terms of trying to establish maybe some leadership qualities than maybe your other sports?
Yeah, I feel like in volleyball, for sure, it's like, because you see all the girls every day, like I don't see any of them until I get here at 3:30, which is like the best part of my day. So coming here, it just makes like my day easier, and it's nice that being able to like see them all at least once a day and multiple times a week, just to be able to talk to them.
And likewise, Ava, in terms of, maybe I'm, whoops, sorry about that, kicked a stick here. But in terms of developing the relationships, maybe change the question a little bit for you and Maddie, in terms of developing relationships, did it take a while? Did it come kind of naturally, especially for the girls that maybe you don't see at school?
I think for me personally, because I would say I'm more on the introverted side. It took like a little bit for me. But it kind of like once you start to build them, it kind of goes pretty fast. So I would say it takes, especially like for like Abby and like the Mozanie girls, it takes a little bit. But then like once they're there, like they're like really strong, and they're stronger than like my school friendships for sure.
And Mandy, I'll ask the same question in terms of trying to, you know, develop the camaraderie with a team that has so many schools involved. Was that at all difficult, or did it come pretty naturally?
I kind of found it fun to, like, come into the locker room and, like, have girls from different schools that you don't see every day. I kind of think that's a cool piece to, like, being on a co-op with so many different schools. So then you have your school friends, and then you kind of have your hockey friends, which are some of your school friends, but also your hockey friends.
In terms of this season, last season obviously ended not the way you wanted to, you know, sectional semifinals, and then you four have been named captains to try and lead the team as we went through this 2023-2024 season. At the start of the year, what was the mindset? A new coach, obviously, and I think, is it something to prove? Was that the motto for your team? At the start of the season, what were the expectations? And we'll start with Maddie this time in terms of building the foundation for this team. Was it, again, with a lot of change, with a new coach and the like, what were the expectations when you first started practice back in the fall?
Well, I think when we first came into practice this year, we kind of coming off last season, we really wanted to, like, we had something to prove, like our motto says, but we kind of wanted to come off strong. Like, we had a lot of changes, like new coaches, that's a big deal, but we had to kind of move past that and just like come together as a team and figure out what our common goal was, which was ultimately to get to that sectional semifinal and beat Superior and to go to state.
And Ava, when a new coach, and as a senior, when you come in with a new coach, there's a lot of change. What was that transition like, and how's that gone?
I'm actually a junior.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. But I would say, kind of like what Maddie said, there's like the challenges of coming together. And we really had like a lot of distance between us, just because of the new coaching changes and a bunch of other changes in general. And that has proven to be a challenge, but it was really awesome to see that us all kind of come together in the end. In the beginning, and we've always had a pretty successful team, but we had pretty high expectations with Jana, and I think she's done really well.
And Tristan, this year as you've gone through it, obviously a lot of success. Was there a point this season where it kind of felt like it came together? Because I think early in the season, just again with the change, was there a moment that thought, okay, we got something here. This is something, a point we can kind of build on.
Yeah, I think right away when we first came back, it felt like, like a family reunion. Like, you get to see all, like, your sisters again. And it was good to, like, have a new member added to the family. Like, Duke was already a part of the family a couple years back. And then we also have a new member, like, Savannah. Like, a lot of them, we welcome them into the family with open arms. And I feel like we got to a point this season, which was even before, like, our sectional semifinal, where we really felt like we clicked and we're starting to play together as, like, a whole. And we really took off from there.
And Julia, heard the name Duke, and as a leader on the team, and then also having a coach that you know exceptionally well, how do you balance that? Because as a leader, I imagine as a captain that there are things that maybe stay within the locker room. I guess is it a positive having dad there, or is it something that has helped you maybe become a leader? How do you maybe balance that out?
Well, it definitely wasn't easy, and we did get into some fights, but I feel like it definitely helped us, like, grow, not just as, like, a coach and a player, but as, like, father and daughter. And I feel like he really, like, helped me, like, learn how to be a leader and how to be professional when you don't always like your dad, but you have to be, like, your coach. So I think it really helped me become a better person.
Let's talk about the last week, because, I mean, you talk about coming together at the right time and playing the best hockey in the biggest situations. Last Tuesday here at Marathon Park against Hayward, the team that knocked you off last year. Obviously, that chip was probably on the shoulder for a long time. To come out and score 7 goals against that team and play really an outstanding game. And then, of course, on Friday, become the first team that from Wisconsin to beat Superior all year long in order to get to the state tournament. What was the last week like? Did you girls feel like there was something special about the week? Because to play at that level, both games was, I thought, very, very impressive. We'll start again with Julia. We'll go down this way. But in terms of last week, was there a feeling in the locker room even before the Hayward game that, hey, we're peaking at the right time?
Yeah, well, from the beginning of the season, we said we wanted to beat Hayward, and we definitely had that. Yeah, we wanted to crush Hayward. Sorry. That was our number one goal, and I think once we, like, got there, we got here on Tuesday, and everyone was just so ready. Like, everyone, they got to the rink, and they were so ready to play, and we started clicking and passing, and we're moving the puck really well, and I think that just kind of carried over to Friday to help us beat Superior, too, and it just felt really good.
Tristan, I was talking to the coach, and she said that Tuesday there was maybe a little more tension, I think, because of Hayward, and then the team was a lot looser on Friday. Sometimes when you're loose, that's a good thing, and sometimes when you're loose, it's not a great thing. What was the feeling Friday night before the game, and were you confident that you're going to be able to come out there and really, again, go head-to-head with what was thought of as the best team in the state?
I feel like coming off of that win on Tuesday, we were at our peak as a team as a whole, and I feel like we had that chip on our shoulder. Like, we wanted to be Superior so bad. Like, that was a goal of ours that we knew once we got past Hayward, we knew that we could play up our best against Superior, because we knew that we were going to get their best right back at us, and I feel like we did really well. Our first period was strong when we came out with a goal, really to take the lead going into the second, and then we just kept pounding them. We didn't let up the gas. But then, like, the third period, we still faced adversity, and, like, even when we gave up two goals, even with 40 seconds left, like, we found a way to win, and I feel like that's something that our group has very special, and we will never give up.
And Ava, when it was 3-3, when they pulled their goalie, when they scored with 44.7 seconds, I think it was, if my memory serves me right, what was the feeling on the bench? Because there was a timeout right after that, and then after 44 seconds, there was a 3-minute break. What was said on the bench, especially with the team itself, in terms of getting ready for the overtime?
So I think we all felt really tense, but we knew that this was going to happen, and we knew that, you know, we weren't going to get out of this without a fight, without some bruises. So we kind of all just, like, gathered around and, like, just, like, kind of agreed to, you know, like, get to business and get that goal right away. And I kind of told Tristan, like, I think she was really important, like, in that time. And she really, like, stepped up and, like, got us all together as a team, and, you know, got us really, like, hyped and motivated and ready to go.
And finally with Maddie, you got the shot. And when I was doing the game and Coach Brandt was with me, and he said, there's never a bad shot in overtime. And there was not a bad shot. Can you maybe the mindset during that power play, the 5-on-3, and then when you saw it squeeze through, I guess, what was the moment like for you, especially after you said, hold, it got to the back of the net?
Well, before that, we had obviously the 3-on-5, and there was 12 seconds left on the clock, and so I knew, like, in that 12 seconds, we had to get a shot on net, because if we didn't get a shot on net, it'd be really hard to come back and win that game. So right off the face-off, Gabby came through, did a great job, did a little scissor switch, and I had Ava on the back door, couldn't really get it to her, so I found this little corner, and I put it in, and it just kind of trickled in. And at first, I thought I was dreaming. I was like, I cannot believe we just won this game. And then I skated over, and I saw Ava and Tristan, and we ran to the boards, and it was such a cool moment because we've been working really hard on our power play, so that was super cool to experience.
After all of that, I mean, going into it, you knew it was such a tough bracket. And now it's the real state tournament. I mean, you have to kind of reset. We'll start with Maddie, because I like going back and forth here, not giving putting you all on the spot at the same time. But to reset after that incredible high of Friday night, and I imagine that the whole weekend was like that. Now getting ready to go to Madison and knowing that the job's not done, is it difficult to reset, or has it been kind of easy to reset?
Well, like, so far, even in practice today, like, our energy's just been really high. So I think, like, obviously we're still kind of on a high from that game because it was so intense. But, like, I think so far we're doing a really good job on just keeping our energy up. And I think if we can carry that out throughout the week, it's going to help us a lot throughout the state tournament.
And it's a really tough tournament. I mean, you look at two of the teams you lost to during the regular season. You beat them as well, obviously. So, and then you have the Cinderella team that you're going to be facing on Thursday in the Calf City Cougars. obviously you see those two teams that you saw, you know, and played four times combined and went 2-2. What is the mindset about Cap City when you look at the record? It's not what the other teams are. I imagine that mentally it's as important as physically to be ready for the game on Thursday.
I just think it's really important that we all kind of recognize, like, they made it to state for a reason. They're the number fifth. They were the fifth seed in their section, and they took down number one and number two and number four. So obviously, you know, they're hot right now, and it's really hard to take down a team that has this kind of momentum going in, and their goalie's really good. But at the same time, we're also at state for a reason, and we all work really hard. And, you know, we wouldn't be in this position if we didn't have the girls on the team that we do. So I think that we have to stay kind of the same mindset, and we have to not too high, not too low, and we can't overestimate them or underestimate them, and just play our game and we'll be fine.
And Tristan, what are the keys in your mind to finish the job, to be able to get the two more wins that you need? Obviously you take it one game at a time, but generally you know what your team is good at and maybe the areas that when things aren't going well that you kind of need to tighten up. What are the keys, do you think, for your team to get these final two wins?
Yeah, I feel like right since like the state tournament's going to start, I think that we need to have a fresh start, like a new mindset. Like, we're here for a reason. We got here because we took down the number one team in the state. Like, we are meant to be here for a reason, and I feel like so are the other teams. Like, we can't look past that, and I feel like if we just play our game and stick to our structure and don't worry about what any other team's running, if we run how we run, how to play, we'll be just fine.
And the final question as we wrap it up with Julia, the whole experience of state. What does that mean? I mean, obviously, it's a new experience for everybody. Even anybody that was on the ice 2 years ago, it's very different now at a very intimate Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena. But generally, what are you most looking forward to going to Madison?
Well, I remember when we went to state 2 years ago, my dad said this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and now we're coming back. So honestly, I'm excited to play. Like, this is it for me, so obviously I'm going to give my 110% to get what we deserve, you know.
Julia DeBio, Tristan Wicklund, Ava Rohde, Mandy DePoint, thank you all for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, come back. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It was great to talk again to those very impressive young ladies from the Central Wisconsin Storm, the four captains of the Storm, and of course, wishing them and their teammates all the best luck as they hit the ice later on this afternoon at the state tournament, state semifinal. And again, very proud and happy to be heading down to Madison to bring you the coverage live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 4:35 and on the for the face-off at 5 o'clock. Again, 4:35 pregame show, Storm against the Cap City Cougars in a state semifinal later today, live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Today is that special day. It is Leap Day. It is the 29th of February of 2024, so enjoy it because we will not see another February 29th for another 4 years until 2028. So
Next year, we will not be telling you about famous events that occurred on this date in history. We will not be telling you about famous birthdays or anything else. So soak it in right now, people, as it is time to find out some of our history lessons from February the 29th and some famous events that have gone on this date in history. In 1906, Ladies' Home Journal reported that women of good birth and breeding long ago discarded the use of perfumes. So apparently not all women, but apparently that was Ladies' Home Journal in 1906. On this date in 1940, Gone with the Wind won 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture of 1939.
Great film.
Also, on that very same day, for her role as Mammy in Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniel became the first African-American to win an Academy Award. On this date in 1972, the legendary Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves became the first player in the history of Major League Baseball to sign a $200,000 a year contract. And he earned every penny and then some. And on this date, 4 years ago, the last time we had a leap day, February the 29th of 2020, the CDC and the Washington Department of Public Health reported the first death in an individual with laboratory-confirmed COVID-19 in the U.S. The patient was a male in his 50s, and of course that was right at the cutting edge of the start of the COVID-19 pandemic here in the United States. A few people, famous people, celebrating their birthday here on February the 29th, and again, not sure how they do it the other years, but here today they get to celebrate fully a February the 29th birthday. Joey Greco, the guy who hosts Cheaters on TV. High stuff there. High quality stuff there. Joey Greco is 52 years old today. Motivational speaker Tony Robbins turning 64 years old today. Antonio Sabato Jr., actor from General Hospital and also The Bold and the Beautiful, celebrating number 52 today. Rapper Ja Rule is 48. And Mark Foster from Foster the People is 40 years old today. And if you're one of those special folks celebrating a birthday on the 29th of February, enjoy it. Happy birthday to you from all of us here at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged here today on the 29th of February. It is, as I said, Leap Day. Yep, it is Leap Day. It is Bachelor's Day. Hey, we're both bachelors, so it's our day.
Yes, we are.
So there you go, Bachelor's Day. It is Digital Learning Day. It is Repetitive Strain Injury Awareness Day.
Oh, yeah.
International Underlings Day. It is Frog Legs Day. And it is Surf and Turf Day.
Surf and Turf.
Surf and Turf. So those are the special days being acknowledged. All right.
All right.
It is time. I know you're all waiting for it. Can Ian Welsh turn it around? He is in a slump.
Yeah.
When it comes to the number of the day on our quiz. And
yeah,
every day.
Feeling about this one,
though. Yeah, well, we give Ian three choices, and one of which is correct. And over the last 13 attempts, he's 1 for 13.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you, that's hard to do. That's hard to do, to be that off.
I swear, I'm not doing this on purpose.
Thing is, if you tried to do it on purpose, you would guess the right one more often. But our number for the day, this is the different number of people who have climbed Mount Everest and reached the summit.
Ooh.
That was as of December of 2023. So,
okay.
The number of different people who have climbed Mount Everest and reached the summit as of December of 2023.
Okay.
All right. The choices are A, 3,664. B, 4,664.
Okay.
C, 6,664. So,
okay.
3,664, 4,664 or 6,664?
I'm going to go with the highest number. I'm going to go C.
So C?
I'm going to go 6,000.
Okay, 6,664 is Ian's answer. All right, the number of different people who have climbed Mount Everest and reached the summit as of December of 2023 is 6,664.
Yes.
So you get one here, one for four this week. Hey, but there's no sitting on your laurels here.
Nope.
Tomorrow you got to get it right.
I do.
Got to get two out of five for this week. Ian, I will talk to you later because you'll be here running the commercials for my Storm broadcast. And I hope everybody else is joining us for the Storm against Cap City at 4:35 today. Storm hockey at the state tournament later today here on Bull Falls Radio. And I will be coming back after that game and be back with you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock sharp here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30.